coming up in a week and a half from Mitzvah Shem is a yortzeit of when you say the word Gain. To call somebody a Gain normally is an overstatement, but to refer to this tzaddik as a Gain is an understatement. Referring to the rugged Trevor Gain, Yosef Rosen, Sechat Tzaddik B'Kodesh Devracha, Yud Aleph Adar, the author of the Tzofnas Paneach. We've spoken in the past about Sipuri Tzaddikim, what could be learned from them, what cannot be learned from them. And there's many things in stories which are not halacha l'maisa. Not in halacha, not in hashkafa, not in avodas Hashem. Like the Gemara says, ein lemeidim in amaisa. What we can take from these stories, which you're going to hear about the Rugachever, it's very unique. Those who are familiar with the Rugachever know what I'm referring to a little bit. Those who don't, you're in for a surprise. This was a type of a tzaddik and a gain, which we didn't see the likes of such a gain, Nifla and Taira, since the times of the Rishonim. He hardly, rarely ever quoted an Acharon in his farm.
Who's an Acharon?
Like the later contemporaries, you know, from the 1500s and on, 1600s and on. He only dealt with the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch. And by many tzaddikim, their avodah was tefillah and mesiras nefesh. And just like in those areas in avodas Hashem, we can't learn to copy. If we're not in the Madrego, we can learn to strive and to know where we're holding and to apply the cheshek and to learn. It's gadai to know how a tzaddik serves the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that in our own Dalai Namos, we should do it with the right intentions. When it comes to Liman HaTayra and the Mesiras Nefesh and the Dveikis and Tayra, the Rugachever going was literally non-stop. And again, a lot of the stories here are very quick stories, so instead of doing maybe a handful of longer stories, some shorter, some longer, most of the stories we have here, and again, this Sefer is just a fraction of what we know about Tzaddikim, and even what we know is just a fraction of their lives. So perhaps what he was most well known for was his Bekiyas. Literally all of Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, every Medrash, every Tosfos, every Rashi, every Rishon, especially the Rambam, was on his fingertips. On his fingertips, every single word. Pintest is not even a... You can't imagine a going like this. Just to give you an idea, this is just to really bring it more on our level, not even to our level. There was a certain genius philosopher, somebody who was held in great esteem amongst the, I don't know if it was with the Goyim who came, or maybe he was Jewish, he came to visit the Rugachever. And after meeting with the Rugachever, he said he has such a mind, he's like two Einsteins. That's what he said about him. So the Klausel Megarev, who tells this over, he said, according to the demyonis of this person, to say two minds of an Einstein was like the biggest compliment possible to try to touch up the Rugachever's brilliance. He said, really, not even 100 brains of Einstein could come close to the depth and the genius of the Rugachever. But then he said, to have all of Shas, Bavi, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Rambam, Baal Peh, he knew it better than we know how to say Ashrei. That's what Klausel said. He says, such a thing is nothing to do with brains. It has to do with a Shefa Eloki that Hashem bestowed upon him, a certain Kedusha, that he was able to be such a Gaon, and he applied those gifts, that Kedusha, into the realm of Torah. And even the greatest Gaonim, as we'll see, They couldn't touch the Rugachever when it came to this inyan. Just an example. Once he was in Lublin by the Torah's Chesed, it was the Gadol Ador, generation before, and they were sitting on the bench, and he said to, they're about to sit on the bench, so the Torah's Chesed said, "Shave, Bini, shave." He said, He said, sit down next to me, have a seat. So then he turned to the Rebbe Shavar and he says, how many times do we find a lashon like that in Shas, that one Tana or one Amira says to another, shave b'ni, sit next to me? He said, 7 times, because shave is like the word sheva. So he said, shave b'ni, shave. He said to me, shev b'ni, shave, right? As if he said, shev b'ni, sheva. The amount of times that it says in Shas, just this quip, this line, he knew a Zion. He even made a vertel on it, shave b'ni, shev, as if there's a sheva. Says that in his youth, Pinchas Teitz said that he was been biased by the Regachever, and he said that I could be made, I saw with my own eyes, that over the course of about an hour and a quarter, he was able to answer 22 tshuvas and 16 mechtavim, and amongst other things. Meaning, there was such a genius, everything was so quick by him. When he received dozens and dozens of letters in the mail of shilas and tshuvas from all over the world. And the day that he received them was the day that he responded. And these were complex shilas in all of Torah. And much which he had written, we don't have printed. If you want to just see just a glimpse of the genius of the Rebbe Shavar, open up the Sefer. He wrote it in code, meaning he didn't write in a way that it was comprehensible for the average mind. Not even for a brilliant mind. Everything he writes is ayin sham, look there, look here, look there, look there. He didn't write, came out anything out. No lashonas. You had to be a genius to understand what he was talking about. For example, Rabbi Yisrael Gustman, the great Rosh Hashiva, he said that he was a dayan on the Bezin of Rav Chaim Eiser. And once, Rav Chaim Moizer sent to Shaila, who was the God of Ador? Rav Chaim Moizer was the God of Ador. He sent to Shaila in learning in Halacha to the Rebbe Shavar. And he waited to pass in the Shaila to hear from the Rebbe Shavar. So he got the letter back, he looked at it, Rav Chaim Moizer, and he remarked, okay, no. But the Rebbe Shavar has his way of learning, and I have my way of learning. So to say, like, we see this Shaila differently. So after he took it, he handed it to the other Dayanim, and they said, we pored over this letter for 4 days straight just to figure out what he was talking about. Chaim Eiser, it shows the genius of Chaim Eiser that he looked at it and he was able to understand it right away. But go, we have it over there. Tzafas Panech ala Torah. I don't know if we have the Shalos and Tshuvas here. But take a look for yourself. It's literally, they have to have a commentary on it, even though he was an Achron, just to understand what he's talking about. He said about himself, just so some of the, there's a story with Aaron Cutler. Aaron Cutler is considered to be one of the greatest Ga'inim in Torah who ever set foot on American soil. And he used to tell over this story on Purim, it's around the corner. He said, by my Shavu Brachas, my Shabbat Brachas was over. I was on the train, he said. It was a famous story. And I met the Rebbe Shavar. So I came over to him, and he said, you know, Shalom Aleichem, what do you do? So Rabbi Aaron, he said, I'm a balabas. He was afraid to say that he was learning in yeshiva or anything like that. So he didn't. The Rebbe Shavar was known to be very sharp, extremely sharp. And if he didn't weren't holding and learning, he would let you know it. Said him a balabas. So he said to him, okay, so tell me a shtickle tire. So he said, I started to tell him a shtickle in Yoni Zika, which is a complex sugi in Hilchas Yavamas, which I said over the course of my Shavar Brachas, meaning it was a tire which took me 7 days to say. I told it to the Gain in less than an hour. So after I finished, the Rebbe Shavar said, oh, very nice. Not bad for a balabas.
You knew.
Not bad for a balabas. And Rav Aaron said, this is one of my best shiurim I gave over to him. Not bad for a balabas. That's what he said. The Amshan of a Rebbe from America, Zchus Yogin Elinu, said that it was a pella that with that we didn't see with our own eyes how he could have been Mechayim Mason with his Torah. Let's give you an idea. When he was a child, even, when he was young, the Gaonis began. So guess this is a Shefa Eloki, you can't explain it. He was once sitting and learning, and the way that it was done in the Litvish yeshiva is that people learned with a shtender. And there was a bacher who came over to him, and he said to him, "Why are you sitting?" He used to sit while everybody is standing. And for everything which you ask him, he had a maramakom, he had a medrash, he had a gemara. Even in his sichas chulim, you couldn't talk to him without him quoting something in Torah. Literally never left his mouth, his mind, for a moment, his kashrus to Torah. So he said, the reason why I said is based on the medrash, Shmos Rabbah, that the gemara, the medrash has the stira. On the one hand, it says Moshe sat for 40 days, and it says that he stood for 40 days. It's a gemara also. So he said, the Gemara answers, the Medrash answers that it depends. When he was learning it for the first time, he stood. But when he was chazering it, he sat. So he said, "I already learned everything I'm learning, so that's why I'm sitting." So this Bacher said to him, "Okay, you can find a chazal for everything." So he says, "Okay, if you don't like chazals, I'll tell you Pasuk and Torah. It says, Vishinantam levanacha, which chazal say that you should review it and know it very well. V'dibarta bom b'shiftecha. When you say it, you should sit down." So I mean, just like that, he... Torah, everything was on his fingertips. He would say, Vertlich with Torah. One of the very well-known things about the Rugachever is that he grew out his hair and he never got a haircut. And there was always question as to why that was. So, Reb Zevin said that the Dvarim are, it's Pashat why. Because he refused to cut his hair, he said, because for the moment that he would have to take a haircut, he had to be bottled from Torah and he couldn't be soivel that. That's why he didn't get a haircut. He said, that's the pashup shot. However, a Yid from Kfar Chabad, his name is Reb Yehuda Lib Groner, he told over the following story. He said, it's very interesting. He said that my father lived very far from 770, Crown Heights, and he was an elder Yid at the time, and it would take him about a half an hour to walk. And once he was coming to on Shvi Shal Pesach to be by the Rayatz, Zechus Yagen Aleinu, we spoke about not long ago. And after making the walk and showing up at 7:70, the Rebbe wasn't coming out; he wasn't feeling well that day. So the Lubavitch Rebbe, his son-in-law, said it's chaval that Reb Mordechai Groner should walk so far and not have. Not to come for any tish or for any for bringing. So the Rebbe started to tell stories for about an hour about different things. And the Lubavitcher told the following story. He said that once the Rugachever went in with his father to go get a bracha from the Tzemach Tzedek. He himself was a Lubavitcher chassid. In fact, in one of his tshuvas, he was asked about the minhag of saying halav on Leil Pesach after Ma'ariv, which is not, there's no real makor for that. So he said, one of the things he writes back to this Yid is says like this, Achmani yachal lichtev l'misnagid kamaycha. What can I write to a misnagid like you? Ki im hayis a chasid kamayni, if you'd be a chasid like me, hayisi magala l'cha b'zer rozen m'joy shirishumus adosh yichamuris, I would teach you the secrets about what we do while we say halal on the night of Pesach. Ach l'misnagid kamaycha day b'zeh, but for a misnagid like you, this is enough. So that's why I'm shortening this tshuva. I don't have time for to say anything more. So you're right. So it says that the Rugachever went into the Tzemach Tzedek, who was the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, and he gave him a bracha, Tihi yelamdan v'tilman Maseches Nazir. You should be a lamdan and learn Maseches Nazir. So he walked out, he was about 5-6 years old, and he said to his father, I don't understand. To be a lamdan and also to learn Maseches Nazir? How could you be a lamdan if you haven't learned Maseches Nazir? So what did he mean by that? So his father said, I don't know. So he decided, the Rugachever, that really what he meant was that you should be a lamdan and you should be a nazir. You should be a nazir. And then if you're a nazir, you'll be zeicha to the bracha to be a lamdan. So he said, the Baba Shabbat told over the story, that's why he never cut his hair. Fascinating. He was very makusha to the Rambam, like we mentioned. Everything was the Rambam. The Rambam was the world of the Ragachavar. He once, when he would wake up in the morning, he would take the Rambam, he would say, "Good morning, Rebbe." He'd put it down at night, he would say, "Good night, Rebbe." Like that. It says that on the day of his chuppah, he was learning, and he was learning, he became so engrossed in the Rambam that they had to tap him on the shoulder to say, "It's time to go to your chuppah." That's how much he... There's nothing like this anymore. It's so involved, you don't even know. We'll get to more stories like that in Mitzvah Shem. I don't know. It's already been 15 minutes.
Was it after? What year was it after?
It was Nifter Tafresh Tzadivav, almost 100 years ago, 90 years ago, 85 years ago. So he suffered from headaches, and he said, the Gemara says if a person has headaches, maybe it's all Biltel Torah. So he said, I can't find that I have any Biltel Torah, that my head should be bothering me like this. So he said, it's probably because the Rishonim are makbid on me. That they argue on the Rambam, and I'm always defending the Rambam against them. So he says, maybe I was poigim in their covet, right? And that's why I'm having these headaches, because they have akpadis on me, that I'm always defending the Rambam. Then he said, it's kedai to have such headaches to defend the Rambam. He said that when he traveled... Rav Zevin said this as well. When he traveled from Dvinsk to Ragachev, which was not far, they weren't far from each other. The Ragachev said that he would go over, he would be chazer half of Shas on that trip. And when on his way, and when he would get there, he would say, "Okay, it's only half of Shas. On the way back, I'll chazer the other half." That's what he said.
In his mind?
Yeah. Yeah. Says that on his, when his Rebbetzin, his first wife, passed away, so they went to Vienna and she was nifter there, and he had to travel there, and for him to travel was like pikuach nefesh. Bittul Torah to him was pikuach nefesh. So when he got there, he was already so engrossed in the Bittul Torah on the train that he didn't know why he was there. He didn't know. They had to tell him, "You came for the levaya of your wife." You can't even imagine. Also, he was an aninus too. He was above all considerations. You can't learn anything. He had no idea why he was there. So when he was about to get off the train, he was involved in a sugi. He was talking to somebody and learning. So they said, "You have to go to the levaya now." This is what he said. He says, "The Gemara says, 'Nashim b'may zachion.' Why are women zeichet olam haba? Because they wait for their husbands to come back from the base medrash." So he says, so she's about to go to Olam Haba, so she'll wait for her husband to come from the base medrash. That's what he said.
Meaning, like he was in the base medrash right there.
Yeah, she'll wait, meaning that the Levaya will wait because her husband is still in the base medrash. There was a Yid who came to Ragachev in the First World War, and he was walking down the streets, and suddenly there was bullets, there was gunshots were being heard, and it looked like that there was something going on. So the Ragachev, he looked out the window, and he saw a Jew running, like as if he was running for his life. So he starts to call out to him, and he says, come here. He says, "I just had a chiddush of the Rambam and the Tosefta." He says, come quick. He had no clue what was going on. He saw Jew running. He thought he needed to hear some Torah. So he said, come. This is a gevaldik chiddush over here. He said, I can learn a language in one night. But chaval on the bittul Torah. That's what he said. Chaval on the bittul Torah. I don't have a night to give. To learn languages, that he said. Similar to what we said before, that when he showed up to his wife's life, he didn't know where he was. So there was a woman whose daughter was in difficult child labor, and she came to the house of the Ragachev. And this was very common by him. Like he didn't see himself as a rav. He saw himself as a person who learns. So he was sent. He said, "Go to a rav." You know. So she came, and he was middle of his learning. He looked up. He saw a woman was crying. And he said, "What can I do for you?" He said, my daughter is in the middle of labor. I need a bracha." He said, "So go to a rav, right?" And then he went back into his learning. So she didn't go anywhere. She continued to cry. So he looked up and he said, "What can I do for you?" She said, my daughter is in labor. I need a bracha from the Rav." He says, "Everything should be good. Just go, go." She went and everything was okay. Just like that. Said Shabbos was very difficult for him. Shabboses were hard because he was such a mayan hamizgaber. The Torah was flowing so much that he would have such masu matan in his head about learning over the course of Shabbos that he said, during the week I can write things down, but on Shabbos it's just a build-up. There's a build-up and there's a build-up and there's a build-up. And he said he had so much agmas nefesh on Shabbos because his mind was working so hard. So when people would come to him to get smicha, so you can imagine what that was like. So he said that the thing that he would test them on the most was Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. Why? He says many of them don't know it, but you have to know it on the spot because you got to go look up a shaila and Kriyas HaTorah in the middle of Nilos. So he said that was by him. You had to know Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah very well. And he said that he would always check about the level of Yerushalayim of a Rav. Because he says, for me to give smicha to somebody because he's a gayin, nobody was a gayin to him. Couldn't give smicha. But if he saw that he was a Yerushalayim, then he trusted this yid that he would do the proper research in halacha to make sure that he would paskin right. That's what he said. One last thing. It says that he was once walking in the Beis HaKfaris, in the Beis HaChaim, in Warsaw, and he was talking and learning. Right? So somebody said, Rebbe, he said, isn't there halacha loig l'rash? You're not supposed to talk and learning when you're walking through the Beis HaKfaris? So he said, these mason, even if they were alive, they wouldn't know what I was talking about. Everything was very sharp. And it was a kind of stand of kaddish and a kiyus like that. Mamish, such a going. Okay, so we'll see you again later.